All right, good afternoon. Thank you for the introduction. Today I'll be presenting some of my thesis research on native plant species establishment on Georgia roadsides. So invasive species and weeds are a very costly problem in Georgia. These are particularly problematic on roadsides due to disturbances. They're also often in close proximity to areas like pastures, areas where they can become further problematic. Management of them requires expensive and often complicated chemical and cultural management. And these current controls that are implemented on Georgia roadsides are subject to a lot of limitations. Particularly the most problematic perennial species such as Johnson grass, Vasey grass, and broom sedge require sequential herbicide applications, and often these herbicides are rather expensive. MSMA, one of the more effective herbicides to be used for this purpose, as EPA restrictions now on limitations due to close proximity to bodies of water. And not to mention mowing, the most common cultural control used for this purpose, was estimated to be cost about $20 million per year in 2009, and that's with only one mowing per year. So in terms of restoring roadsides, ecological restoration often involves, it's restoring disturbed areas to their previous natural state, and this very frequently involves the establishment of native plant species on such areas. This practice may, on roadsides, may promote natural competition and reduce the need for chemical and cultural weed control in these areas. This has been a very effective strategy in other states. Iowa, and since this practice is widespread in Iowa, and since it's been implemented in the 1980s, an estimated 70 to 90% reduction in herbicide use has been reported. Here in California, it's been shown to reduce the productivity of exotic annual grasses, and in Minnesota has also been shown by Blumenthal et al. To result in almost 100% decrease in weed biomass compared to unrestored sites. So the objective of this research was to evaluate the effects of species selection, timing of seeding, seeding rate, and location on native plant establishment on Georgia roadsides. So this research was conducted at five sites. Four of them were conducted directly on the interstate. Both Commerce and Noonan sites were located, Commerce was the northernmost site. That and Noonan were located off Interstate 85. We had two sites off Interstate 75, and then one site located at one of our research farms. These took place on a variety of soils, from sandy loams to sandy clay loams, with pHs ranging from 5.1 to 7.3. So we had 29 species we evaluated that are of current interest to roadside agronomists. We had 12 graminoids. This included 11 grasses and one sedge, and then 17 forbs. The vast majority of those forbs were the aster family. We also had a couple relatively successful members of the mint family and one legume. So for the experimental design, across these five sites, we had three different experimental designs. The Griffin site, this was located at the Dempsey Research Farm at the UGA Griffin campus. We used a split block design with four replications where all 29 species were seeded in the fall of 2012 and then again in spring, where the whole plot factor was seeding time, and the subplot factor was a factorial combination of all species and two seeding rates. These seeding rates included the 11 kilogram per hectare rate prescribed by the Georgia Department of Transportation, as well as a 100 seeds per meter squared rate. In most of these sites, the fall seeding took place in early October, and the spring seeding took place in late March and early April. The Commerce and Noonan sites, these were both located off Interstate 85. Again, we used a split block design with four replications. The 29 species were again seeded. All 29 were seeded in both the fall and spring to compare the effective seeding time. However, the subplot factor, these sites were only species. All seeding was done at the DOT prescribed rate of 11 kilograms per hectare. And then in Macon and Tifton, these were both located off Interstate 75. We had space limitations at these sites, so each site had two separate studies. Each study was a randomized complete block with four replications. The first study at each site consisted of the 17 of the 29 species that were cool season or considered cool season species. They were all seeded in the fall, and then the warm season species were seeded in the spring. And again, all seeding was done at 11 kilograms per hectare. So to prepare these sites, we used glyphosate at 4 kilograms of acid equivalent per hectare. This was applied in September at 235 liters per hectare spray volume. A sequential application was made directly prior to the fall seeding about 3 weeks later. And then right before the spring seeding, one more application was made in March to the plots with the spring seeding treatment. The day of seeding, prior to the application of seed, sites were sliced at a 1 centimeter depth with a graded mechanical slicer. And the seeds were applied by hand with shaker cans. We used malorganite as a carrier at about 18 grams per meter squared. This was not for fertility purposes, but mainly to achieve uniform seed distribution across plots. Griffin, the site on our the research farm, was the only site to receive irrigation. And this was done with a water reel for 1 month after seeding is needed. For our measurements, we looked at visual percent cover and plant counts in terms of plants per meter squared at 4, 8, and 12 months after seeding. And for the data analysis, the data was subjected to analysis of variance at the 0.05 probability level using PROC, GLEMIX, and SAS. And means were separated using pairwise t-tests. So moving on to the results, I'll only be showing the species of the 29 that achieved over 20% cover at any of the rating dates, and we'll be, due to the scope of this presentation, focusing on the percent cover at 12 months after seeding, which was the end of the study. So here on the x-axis, we have the species that pertain to that site with over 20% cover, and on the y-axis, we have the percent cover. So we can see that these three species here were among the most successful. In the different colors, we can see the different seeding treatments at Griffin. Again, this site had two rates and two timings of seeding. We can see that the fall seeding was by far superior to the spring seeding here, particularly the 11 kilogram per hectare rate. Wild bergamot was the only species that established at in the spring seeding. The red and the orange are the fall seeding, the other two colors are the spring seeding. So we can see primarily wild bergamot was the only species able to establish at Griffin in the spring, and I'll get two reasons for that later on. The Commerce site, our four species that did the best were black-eyed Susan Lanceleaf, Coreopsis, and wild bergamot again, and then Indian grass, which is Sargastrum, also did relatively well. It was the best performing grass throughout the sites. We can see here that the fall seeding provided generally higher cover somewhat, except for with wild bergamot again, that came up in the spring at about twice as high of cover as it did in the fall. At Noonan, we again have our three best species in black-eyed Susan, Coreopsis, and wild bergamot, and mountain mint was also a very successful species here. Noonan had one of the more basic soils of all the sites, which may be a part of that reason. At Noonan, the site was mowed by contractors before the 12 months after seeding could be taken, rating could be taken in the fall, so that's presented here in terms of 8 months after seeding. We can see that the spring seeding actually did the best in Noonan compared to any other sites, particularly with mountain mint. We saw about a six-fold increase in percent cover, whereas it was very comparable for black-eyed Susan and Lanceleaf coreopsis, we saw about twice as high cover when seeded in the spring. For Macon and Tifton, these are the cool season studies, so the 17 cool season species were seeded. Macon was probably the richest site in terms of which species, how many species established. And we can see here relatively uniform relatively uniform establishment across all the species. We saw about 50 to 65% cover with all four of these species: black-eyed Susan, lanceleaf coreopsis, mountain men, wild bergamot. Whereas Tifton had much more sporadic results in terms of which species did the best. Tifton was the furthest south site. It was in the far south part of the state on a much more sandy soil. And then for the warm season studies, Indian grass and switchgrass were the best species we observed. They both had about 35 to 40% cover in Macon. And then in Tifton, we had no species achieve over 20% cover at 12 months after seeding. This was primarily due to heavy weed pressure. So moving on to discussion, black-eyed Susan, swamp milkweed, and Indian grass all had the quickest establishment of all the species. This was looked at 4 months after seeding at the majority of sites. These species were relatively successful. Data for 4 months after seeding is not shown. And then in terms of the species that with the best establishment by the end of the study at 12 months after seeding, black-eyed Susan, lanceleaf coreopsis, and wild bergamot all had the best cover. So in general, spring seeding led to faster establishment. There weren't any species that did significantly better across more than one site when seeded in the fall compared to the spring. However, most species responded better to initial establishment within the first 4 months when seeded in the spring. Further research is needed to evaluate the seeding rates due to inconsistent seed size across species. At Griffin, the 11 kilogram per hectare rate gave significantly better cover than the 100 seed per meter squared rate. However, certain species, what weight of seed constituted 100 seeds per meter squared varied widely. Griffin and Tifton had the highest weed pressure of any sites. That bottom picture is the Tifton spring study. We had a large infestation of large and southern crabgrass. This is particularly problematic in the spring seeded plots across all sites. So further research is warranted on using herbicide programs during establishment. Again, we use glyphosate for site preparation, but selective control with grasses such as Indian grass or switchgrass could be implemented. Establishment may be better within that first year. We also need further research on seeding rates and other methodologies of seeding and site preparation. So in conclusion, black-eyed Susan, swamp milkweed, Indian grass, lanceleaf coreopsis, and wild bergamot all have the most potential of the species evaluated for restoring roadsides in Georgia. Results from this study suggested that these species established faster when seeded in the spring than compared to fall across most sites, and more research is required on determining optimal seeding rates and evaluating effective herbicide programs for weed control. And with that, if I have any time, I'll be happy to take questions. I cannot comment on the white-tailed deer. We didn't have any of the rating dates. We didn't really have any, they weren't in areas, they were directly off the interstate, so we couldn't really look at that. In terms of visibility and height of the species, most of the forbs were probably within 1 to 3 feet tall by the end of this study. The grasses had potential to be taller. However, Indian grass and switchgrass, the two of the best the two best grasses we observed. We've done greenhouse research, and Indian grass generally never got taller than about probably 2 feet, 2-3 feet, whereas Johnson grass, Vasey grass, some of the more problematic invasive species can be in excess of 4 or 5 feet. We've seen Johnson grass and Griffin that's about 7 or 8 feet tall before.
What is the soil moisture temperature in April in Georgia?
In April, the only site that we have information on that was at the Griffin site. We have a weather station there. I believe in April this past year, which was relatively cool in Georgia compared to the previous years, we probably had about, it was in probably the 60s degrees Fahrenheit range. April of this past year had large fluctuations in temperature, but that would probably be the safe average.
I have a question. What's the point of seeding mix with 29 species?
Well, the objective of this research was to evaluate which species would be most successful. Generally, we're doing further research now where we've selected the most effective of these species and putting them in mixtures and in terms of how they establish on different slope grades. Ideally, you probably want, from what I've read of previous research, want to use a mixture of a couple forbs and a couple grasses, and this probably black-eyed Susan, lance-leaf coreopsis, and probably switchgrass and Indian grass. But the vast majority of the species we evaluated, if they emerged at all, we probably had about a third didn't come up at all, and the rest would die off after 4 or 8 months.
Just follow up with that. Do you have any intention to do an economic analysis?
There's
29 cities you are going to use.
Right.
So select for 10. How are you going to identify 10?
As far as costs go, well, that's a good question. We haven't really looked at any of the cost analysis yet. Most of the seed we obtained of these species were from native nurseries that specialize in native plants, which on a large scale throughout the state might be impractical. So that would definitely require some further research. I would imagine in comparison to the cost of a lot of the herbicides they use and as well as mowing, if those can be reduced, it might be beneficial and save money. It would be my prediction.
Thank you.